Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. At the end of this broadcast, we have a TV program that begins at 8 o'clock from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your TV entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give a review. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources, these radio programs, TV programs, and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be in the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you in any of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you a need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We began last month looking at a series entitled The Fruit of the Spirit. We are looking at the character that God demands of those who are His children that we must develop as we grow in our grace and truth in Jesus Christ, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Let us read the verses again in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now we have examined the first one of these already, love. Today we want to discuss the fruit of the Spirit of joy. Know Jesus, know peace. Know Jesus, know peace. Well, that's true. This wisdom might help us understand the importance of the attributes of joy and peace. We will not remove all painful, sad, and adverse experiences from your life. May create more physical adversities for you for standing for what is right. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, Galatians 6, verse 17. Yes, discipleship comes with a price. Well, knowing Jesus, what will it do for you? Be sure you understand God did not promise it would remove painful, sad, and adverse experiences. The person has bad times in life before knowing Christ and may have them afterwards. It may be that knowing Jesus would create more physical adversity, but there is a way to have joy and peace. It will be impart a measure of joy and peace within adversity. Knowing Jesus will impart a great measure of this joy and peace within our heart. How is it possible to have a measure of joy and peace while we're facing the difficulties of life? Well, one sure way to understand that is that Jesus cares because He will never leave us alone. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says He will never leave us nor forsake us. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 encourages us to cast our care upon Him, for He careth for you. So we can have joy and peace in knowing that we are not left alone, that our Lord and our Savior is with us and He cares about us. Let us define joy. Joy is great happiness, feeling of great happiness or pleasure, especially of an elevated or spiritual kind, something that brings happiness, a pleasurable aspect of something or something that is seen as a source of happiness. Now, let us define peace. Peace is freedom from war. Freedom from war on the time when a war or conflict ends. Mental calm. A state of mental calm with serenity, with no anxiety. In Scripture, it can mean to reconcile. And this is a definition that we want to remember. A mental calm. A state of serenity with no anxiety. That's the type of peace that we want to discuss. First of all, the Christian's peaceful tribune. First of all, we have peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, through our Lord Jesus Christ, as long as a man is in sin, he is God's enemy and cannot be at peace with him. When we obey, we enter into a peace treaty with the God that we serve. Peace with our fellow man. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. God's children must always be seeking peace with their fellow man, brethren, friends, or enemies. We're told to love them according to Matthew 5, 44 and 45, and in the same chapter in verse 23 and 24, we're told that it can hinder our worship to God if we don't take care of it. In Matthew chapter 6, very plainly, Jesus says if we're not willing to forgive others, then he will not forgive us. And so we need to be at peace with our fellow man as much as lies with us in our possibility. We must strive to have peace. Now, there are some who will not be at peace with us, but let it never be said that the absence of peace is because of our attitude or our conduct. It must always be with the other person. We also need to be at peace with self. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6 through 9, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Man can truly never be at peace with himself until sin is dealt with, and then he enters a place of sweet peace, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace knowing that he's in a good place. He's right with God, and things are right with him. And again, as long as we are right with God, we can have serenity and peace. What about joy? The world seeks the wrong way to attain it. The world seeks joy by dismissing or eliminating sorrow, or by filling life with pleasurable things. Well, there's a problem with that. Sorrow surrounds us and easily infuses our souls. Material and physical things only affect us temporarily. They do not last. Study the book of Ecclesiastes, especially chapter 2 and verse 1 through 11. The problem is, there is nowhere to hide from our problems and our difficulties. Sadly, this world's temporary and material things will help us only for a short time. Men must seek higher and more enduring instruction. They must seek something that gives us true joy, true pleasure, not the kind that's temporal, not the kind that quickly evaporates. And that can only be found with our Lord Jesus Christ and his blessings and the love that he gives to each of us who seek to follow him. But what about joy in adversity? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12 in the great Sermon on the Mount. It said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are reviled and persecuted, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, so that they persecuted the prophets who were before you." How can such a thing be possible? How can we have joy in adversity, knowing that we are enduring adversity for doing right, for doing that which is honorable, for doing that which is acceptable to God, can give us peace? It can bring us joy in knowing that we will have a more enduring reward if we stay the course and remain faithful to God. Life is full of thorns. Can we bloom like roses among the thorns in life? Well, the New Testament Christians did, and we must seek to do that too. We're going to have difficulty. We're going to have adversity, but we can't let it rob us of our joy. And we can't let it rob us of the peace that we have in Christ Jesus. Joy blooms in adversity. In 4, in verse 9, the text says, "For I think that God has displayed us apostles last, as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but we are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. Verses 9 through 13. Could being condemned to death for anything other than living a Christian life bring real joy? The apostles, except one, all suffered martyrdom because of their love for the Lord. Yet they said their lives were full of joy. How can that be, dear friend? How can a life so filled with adversity and difficulty and tribulation and trials, how can their life be one full of joy? Well, they understood the true joy that happiness can only be realized in Christ. Sadly, I think many of God's children have forgotten that the only real joy that we can have in life is understanding that any difficulty in life is temporal. It will not last, and it will not continue, and it will run its course, and then it will be gone. And we need to keep our eye on the goal. We need to keep our eye on the finish line, and we never should allow the things of this life to distract us, to deter us, to get us off mark, or to cause us to wallow in self-pity, or to forget the love that Christ has for us, the watch care that he has, and the promise that he has that we read earlier, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. You see, ladies and gentlemen, joy and peace can truly only be obtained by those people who are seeking to follow God, because we understand that in the end, we will be rewarded. We will be rewarded with a place, an eternal place in the heavens, with our Savior, Jesus Christ, to be with him and all the saints of all ages forever and ever. But we will never obtain that unless we try to seek the true joy and peace that can only be found in serving and following Jesus Christ. You see, in all the things that we read this morning, joy and peace cannot be found in things. They cannot be found in pleasure. Yes, they can be pleasurable for a while. They can bring us joy for a while, but they will never bring us lasting joy. That can only be found with Christ. That can only be found in Christ and with God. And true joy can only be achieved in understanding that our life is right with God, that what we're doing is acceptable to God, that what we are doing is bringing him glory and honor and praise, and he is well pleased. And such conduct will always, as Christians, bring us a true sense of contentment, a true sense of peace and understanding that if I lay my head on my pillow tonight and I don't wake up tomorrow, that I know that my life is fine, that I will wake up in a better place, that I will be with my Lord, and the troubles and trials and difficulties of this life will be gone, and I will be at true, everlasting peace and rest. You see, that's what God is offering us, true joy and true peace. And we must develop that character by placing our faith and our focus on him and in doing his will. And when we do that, we will have the peace that passes all understanding. We will conclude our discussion on the peace and joy of the fruit of the Spirit next week, Lord willing. But until then, we hope that you understand that being a Christian is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. We hope you'll come and worship us and let us show you with God's Word how that can be accomplished. We thank you for listening today, and we hope to see you at our services this morning. Have a blessed day.